Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
Hallelujah. As the custom is, we want to move into our anchor scriptures. We want to read the book of Acts chapter 12 verse 1 to 3. Acts chapter 12 verse 1 to 3. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 to 13 as our second reading. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 to 13. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. Please provide me the marker board and the marker, because I said I'm going to do a projection today, so give me the marker board. For we do not wrestle against flesh and the blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. The verse 13, place of emphasis. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Today's concentration is on this very phrase, withstanding the evil day. And having done all, to what? To stand. Hallelujah. So today's concentration is on this very phrase, and I want you to really follow me. Our last reading is Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. Colossians 2, 15. We are all going to read together. Sakite, how are you? You're welcome. All right. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Can we read together? I say we are reading together. Let's go ahead. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Amen. As usual, I please the Lord that we still continue on the matters of warfare. You see, we are getting deeper into this whole journey of warfare. And it's not a coincidence that we've started talking about warfare, because what is coming next pertaining this ministry, pertaining our life, this very training is very essential. And if you have not been able to follow through and through, I will advise you that all that we have done so far on the matter of warfare, you will give yourself the time to follow through. Because it is very essential that you arm yourself in the day that evil will come. That's why I said today's emphasis is on that aspect. So I want you to really, really treat this very journey we are doing very essential to the next phase of what God wants to do in your life. Hallelujah. Most times when we come to church and we come to, where would be the best place to position? I think here we'll do, or here. Just here, right? Okay, so let's position it here. Today, welcome to my class, course 101. I'm your lecturer, and I'm going to teach you. Okay? Today, we're going to study the syndicate of demonic operations. Do you know a syndicate, right? Yeah. So, where's the marker? Okay, please provide the marker so that I can do justice. But before we get there, let's have some introduction to today's topic. We are still on the wiles and devices, part 2. And today we're going to take this part and break it into another part and come into it later. Hallelujah. Now, we said that wiles and devices is the second lesson in the school of what? Warfare. The first lesson is what? We do not war against what? The flesh. That is what? Profiling. The second lesson is what? Wiles and devices. And we find out that wiles are methods, schemes, and the way by which the devil comes against us. And we know that the devil is an very experienced tactician who is good at using schemes and strategies to dispossess the believer or push him out of position. I hope you remember that aspect, right? Good. And said with devices, we are talking about the purpose to which he comes after you. The reason why he's bringing out those schemes and all those strategies against you is all the devices. So we are on lesson number two, that we need to know the wiles and the devices. Hallelujah. Now, the reason why lesson number two is important is because of what Paul said in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 verse 13. In Ephesians chapter 6 verse 13, Paul said that, let's read it again, Ephesians chapter 6 verse 13, the emphasis over there. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able, not that you will be able. Listen, it's very important. Let's look at the grammatical construction here. It means that failure to be very prepared means that you cannot be able to withstand in the evil day. Evil day. The reason why lesson number two is necessary is because there is something that by the teachings of scriptures is exposed to us called evil day. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, why is this very concept evil day important? Now, let's take it from here. First of all, it is important to acknowledge and be very trained in the awareness that we live in an evil present age. Galatians chapter 1 verse 4. We live in an evil present age. That means every day belongs to an evil world system, which can be classified in three folds. I'm going to show you those three classifications. It is very, very, it will be an act of ignorance for any believer to think that he's living in an age which is not an evil age. Are you following me? Let's read Galatians chapter 1 verse 4. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this what? Present evil age, according to the will of our God and not and Father. So the age that you and I find ourselves is called the evil what? Age. Now this evil age means that the practical day-to-day demonic systems in operation. Now let me give you three folds by which these demonic systems are works. Three folds. Number one, demonic system works with what we call seasons of personal attacks. Personal seasons of diversity and spiritual attacks. We live in a present evil age that you can see that there are seasons and times and days that people suffer diversity of spiritual attacks. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 1. Let's read it. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 1. In Ecclesiastes, he warned us that we should remember now our Creator in the days of what? Our youth. Is that not so? Before the difficult days comes and the years draw near, when you say, I have no pleasure in what? So number one, Ecclesiastes presented two scenarios here. Number one, there are days that will draw near that you cannot find pleasures in them, and that is old age. That also, and that there are also days that personally things will be difficult for you. Those days are part of the human life, and they stand for the present evil age, which started from the fall of what? Adam. So it is very wrong for the believer to walk in this world without the mindset that there is going to be a day that evil will come after you personally. Jesus said, I have been with you all these days, but you could not lay hand on me. But today you are able to do so because it is the day that evil must what? Must prevail. Never walk in this world and think that you everything will be butter, my bread, sugar, my cocoa. So wonders Jesus they do. It's not true. As we live by seasons and times, there are going to be days by the natural act of evil present world that the individual will come under diverse kinds of what? Attacks. Spiritual attacks. Are we all on the same page? Number two, another revelation of this evil age that Galatians 1:4 mentioned is the moral corrupt age in which we live in. Can you realize that as we age, morality is losing its ground? There is this song that my brother used to sing that I chose not to sing it in my ears again. You know, like he used to sing, like, it's a very fun, the guy said, Decency Away. Well, do you remember that guy? What was that artist? Someone I go to, I'll pierce my ears. Do you remember the song I'm talking about? Now, you can attest to it that even the school uniform that you used to wear, that was, is it here below or above your knee? Which one is above and below? Here is below your knee, right? Now, if care is not taken, decent uniform will be the one almost towards. We are in the age where the evil present age shows in the fall in morality. the decay in morality. So if you see how this world is decaying and morality is losing its ground, it should conscientize you that the world is already out evil. We are living in an evil world, and that evil world is having its health impact on you. I don't know if you get it. So when you suffer personal attacks, it is to remind you that you are living in a present evil age. When you see morality taking it, losing its grounds in our generation, it's also a reminder that we are out, living in an evil age. Are we on the same page? If you want the scripture, Amos chapter 5 verse 13, Micah chapter 2 verse 3. Because of time, I want to move fast. Hallelujah. Are we on the same page? Good. Then, and the third fold of evidence of evil present age is the intensity of wickedness in our days. The intensity, not wickedness already exists. The Bible said the son of what? Wickedness. You see, it said the iniquity shall be justified, the son of wickedness. So wickedness is already existing, but the intensity is telling you that we are in serious what? Evil what? Age. Are we on the same page? Can you see the kind of wickedness that we are seeing these days in our lives? Wickedness is now people's way of life. People will slander you to make money. People will do anything. See, the motivation for wickedness now is rooted in the amount of money people can make. Be very careful of the news you hear about people on the news you read about people. Because let me tell you, one of the things I don't believe is news. Because now it is motivated by money. Even the traditional ones. Recently, I saw a video of a man of God who went to do this football prophecy on one particular traditional TV station that Ghana will not qualify from the group stage. And when we qualified, the same TV station brought out that interview and they started projecting it. Why are they doing that? It's for likes and takes. And that, you see how, and the kind of caption they gave it. Now, you invited the person, not like some, he stood in his church, you say to him. What were the reason of inviting him? So people can do anything as far as money is a motivation. That's why the intensity of wickedness is growing. So in the book of Daniel chapter 12 verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 to 5, it talks about the intensity of what? Wickedness. Daniel chapter 12 verse 1. And that time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stand watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Even to that time, and at that time your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in what? In the book. Hallelujah. Even though this reality exists, Paul was very careful to mention the concept evil day in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 13. Now watch. Evil day as presented. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 13. Let's go back to that place. Paul presented, he could have said evil days or times, but he said evil day. The emphasis on that evil day was to let us know that in as much as we live in a present evil age, there is a particular season or day that there will be a concentrated attacks against the believer. Intensified, concentrated attacks. So what Paul was teaching in Ephesians, as different from Galatians, is that even though you live in an evil age that you see people being personally attacked in diverse ways, you see morality falling, wickedness growing, the believer should know that in your life, personally, there could be a time, a day, that there will be an intensified attack on you. And that attack is manifested through what? Channels that is used to what? Intensify those attacks. Therefore, if you do not prepare for those attacks, it's not like the daily one you see. Let me give you an example. You see, daily you see SS girls. Let's mute the brothers, okay? You see, when these SS girls that are passing by, the way they look, the way they approach you, sometimes the effort to stand them, that I hope you got what I'm trying to say, the moral pressure they are bringing on you, if you don't take care. So the prophet said, if you have walked with what? Footmen, and they have worried thee, what will you do when you are around with what? The horsemen. Now when we talk of your evil day as a man, that evil day for you is the day that is not an SHS girl, The one who has graduated, well doing, beautiful, has gone for all the BBLs and everything. And she has decided that you, Meryl Dross. If you have not, that one is different from the normal ones you see every day, you know, the usual temptation. I hope you get a picture now. As a lady, let me give you your example too. Okay? You know, you have your list, your checklist, okay? You have your checklist. He must be tall, broad-chested. Give me some of the checklist. Uh-huh. Sister, what's some of your checklist? Okay? As I forget, let me see your six packs. Hallelujah. So, you see, you meet all kinds of guys, like, they will try to make advances and everything on you. Then one day, in your difficult, poor moment, let me use that word, when there's nothing available and it's a matter of life and death, then that gentleman shows up. Oh, I can help you. On the condition that, that's an evil day. It could be that day it can cost your mom's life if you don't do it. It can cost you your child's life. It can cost you something that will live with you forever. And that gentleman will show up, who has the capacity to meet all the needs on the condition that. So Paul was talking about not the very average ones that if he doesn't give you, can eat garri and sleep, no problem. You see those ones, eh? If he doesn't help you, but the one that your child is admitted and he's going between life and death, and there's nobody, and that person is the only one who can give you that 100,000 Ghana cedis for 10 minutes. That is the day we will know. Evil day. That is the evil day I'm talking about. But the first ones are, drop. If you don't promote me, I can survive. Is that not so? If you don't, I can survive. So Paul's emphasis was not on the present evil age we live in, where wickedness is growing. But this is talking about when that your day has come, that the council of Satan, the syndicate, have decided that as for today, it is his turn. We must do everything to show him shege. Paul said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God so that when that day comes, you can be able to what? Stand. So the reason why we need to look at the wiles and devices is because that day will come. Whether you like it or not, we will all have that day. That's why I said what we are doing this year is not like, I am really preparing you for things that are about to come. So that when it comes, you are already what? Prepared. Hallelujah. So under God's permissive will, there will be seasons in your life or in the life of a local church or a place that highly concentrated spiritual attacks of any of the classified three can be carried out against you. Now, our first reading is a typical example. Acts chapter 12. Look at how the Bible started. Look at how the chapter started. Can we read Acts chapter 12 verse 1? Look at how it said, Acts 12 verse 1. Look at how it's the introduction started. Do you see? Let's go one together, eh? Now, about what? That time. What was that time? That was the time that highly activated demonic attack was levied against the church and the individuals. About that time. It was that time. And nothing could be done. So if the church was not prepared, that is why the church was taken by surprise. When James was taken, he was killed. The church didn't prepare for that. Now when Peter was grabbed, now they said, no, it is about that time that we also make prayers. Because if it is about that time. So there is always that time that the wiles and devices of the devil will reach its peak and concentration. And it will be your turn, not your turn. It will be your turn. They will focus everything on you. But the question is, how prepared are you? Your preparation will be revealed in your understanding of the wiles and devices. So that when that evil day comes, you can be able to what? Withstand. Amen. Therefore, this decisive moment is all Paul was calling the church attention to, that as just as soldiers. Now let me see. You see, so Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 was the reason why Paul was calling us to, is that you see, as soldiers, naturally, soldiers are prepared daily for one decisive battle. Is that not so? Now I heard that when they wanted to capture Osama bin Laden, they have to practice for 3 months. Is that so? Or 6 months? Is it 6 months on how to capture him? 6 months. So number one, they built the same complex and everything that is projected to be inside, and then they set a time range that it took them 6 months to master it. The reason why Paul is saying that we should stand is a preparation ahead, that on that day, you see, it is time. You see, you don't have much time. You see, there are seasons of your life that you cannot, when the things happen, you can't pray. I don't know if you don't know, I'm telling you. There is a time in your life that things can hit you and you forgot that you can pray. That time, it is the preparation you have made ahead that will be able to help you to stand. So Ephesians 6:13 was revealing what Paul was crying in Ephesians 6:10. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong. Be strong, oh, because one day, if you are not strong there. So soldiers prepare for years just for one decisive battle. And everybody will fight that battle. See, there's one decisive battle that will shoot you into what? Prominence, or will kill you for the rest of your life. There's that one decisive battle. Take it from me. Everybody. There is one decisive attack. When the devil launches it and he's done, and he didn't succeed, you are true. It can be against your health. Can be against your marriage. Can be against your finances. He can, the one he think it is more vulnerable. See, he will attack the one he thinks more vulnerable, and he will come so strong with everything he has. Your safety and your deliverance is Ephesians 6:10. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you can be able to stand against the wiles. I pray for you. And it's my prayer that on the day that it will be said that it's the evil day, you will stand. Because we are meant, we are called to stand. It is not meant to crush you. It is meant to prove you that the devil can do his worst. So when Theophilus Sunday sang that song, I said, devil, do your worst. It is talking about this evil day, that when he's done doing his worst, you still stand. But you can make those claims when you have not. So I want you to prepare so that when you are making those claims, when is that all you can do? You can ask, oh, Lucifer, is that all you can do? I think you can do better. You provoke him because you know that you are out. You are standing. Hallelujah. Therefore, one important lesson in the school of warfare is how to identify the devices and the wiles of the devil in this intense, decisive period, and also to prepare yourself for this decisive moment, which is what we want to focus on today. The reason why we want to identify the wiles and devices of the devil is because we can prepare enough for such a day. Because at that day, you don't have much time. So the accumulation of knowledge that you have and the intensity of what you have been built upon is what's going to determine what your work. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Now, it is time to come to the classroom. Are you ready? Yes. Amen. Now, another thing that is very important here is when you look at the teachings of Apostle Paul with regards to this evil day, he did something in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12. And that is something that was very critical in my studies of this concept, which is that Ephesians is not the only epistles of Apostle Paul that he mentioned the issue of warfare and satanic attacks. If you look at the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3-5, it said, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God, blah, blah, blah. He went on. Is that not so? If you go to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1, said, perilous times shall come, evil shall do this, this shall happen, blah, blah, blah. Are you with me? So, in most of the teachings of Apostle Paul, from Romans to the last epistles of him, there is always a projection of warfare or demonic activities that he conscientizes the believer. But in Ephesians, not only did he mention the issue of warfare, he went ahead to give revelation of the channels of oppression, which I call the spiritual syndicate of oppression. Why? Are you with me? He went ahead to give details, because in Ephesians, apart from Ephesians, you will not see this breakdown of the four channels or the rankings of demonic operations. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12. Are you with me? So it also brought to knowledge. Why did Paul do that? The answer is in just one place. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 11. The wiles. You know that the concept wiles was only mentioned in the book of Ephesians. You see, the devil can exploit a lot of schemes. And he has channels to operate. So the thing is that if you don't know that this is coming from this channel, and each of the channels has the way to operate. So in as much as he's talking about, you see, the concentrated day that you'll be attacked, one of the things you need to know is to know the channel of operation and how they do their work. And that's how you can deal with it. So he has to do a surgical operation on the demonic what system. Are we on the same page? Do you get it? Good. So now Paul's mention of these four channels was not primarily to intended to encourage believers to rank or classify demonic beings out of curiosity. Rather, this is his purpose. His purpose was for a practical reason, which is that by identifying the various spheres of satanic operation, the believer is equipped to recognize the nature of the spiritual conflict they face. So if you're able to identify the sphere, the class, the rank of what the believer, you can now identify the spiritual warfare you are facing. I don't forget my point. So if that is why, because it, at that point, it is the intensity of demonic attack on your life. So if you don't understand the sphere of oppression, how will you know the weight of the spiritual attack on you? You will not. So in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12, that mention was not to help us rank demonic realms, but is to give us clarity to recognize the spheres of oppression. Which means, therefore, in handling Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 as a believer, this is what you're supposed to do. The believer's focus should not be on the hierarchy itself, but understanding the specific wiles of the enemy at work in any given situation. You shouldn't mind whether it is powers. You shouldn't mind whether it is what? Wickedness in high places. Your concentration in Ephesians 6:12 is that you need to understand the specific wiles of the enemy at work in any given situation. So can you say that this is the work of darkness? Can you be able to point out this is the work of principalities? That is what you should look at. Whether it is whoever, it's not none of your business. I hope you understand. Good. Now, the reason is that why you need to know this is that Satan employs different strategies through different channels of operation. Hence, the believer needs to be equipped in applying the appropriate piece of God's armor. You see, because Paul was going to talk about the armor available for the believer, okay? The armor. Every armor and what it does. In order to appropriate the armor in response to the attack that is coming on you, you must know what this person is, because each of them have where they concentrate. There are spiritual oppressions that concentrate on your salvation, your mind. Salvation protects your mind. That's why it's called the helmet of what? And that's how Paul's talking in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Pulling down strongholds. That is their field of concentration. So when you see that they want to attack, it means that you have to work on your matter of what? Salvation. There are those that attack the heart, the vital organs, breastplate of what? So if you are not in holiness, you are not standing well. So those are the ones that it doesn't matter how you pray. Their only way to get you is your they will check your holiness. Whether you're standing right with God. So you can, no matter what you do, if you are not right standing, you can pay your tithe, you can do everything, but if you are not in alignment, your consecration is, you are not in alignment. God says, stand here. You said, me, I'll stand here. They will deal with you. Those are the ones that you can pray 10 years. It will not go. Until one day you find your alignment and they stop. Because they are filled of expect. Expect is what? Target your heart. Your alignment, righteousness. So are you standing? So the reason why we need to know the words is because when you know that, oh, something is working this way, then you know, okay. They are looking for this. Then you go and do check and see whether it is, everything is fixed over there. If everything is fixed, you can stand. They can attack you. When the Bible says 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. Do you know what he was talking about? Alignment. But if you're not in alignment, I said that 1,000 will fall on you, and tens of thousands shall still what? Fall on you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we put on the right armor and the corresponding spiritual what? Response. So the way you respond to principalities will not be same as responding to what? Powers. Now, if you recall, when we had a time with Daddy and he was teaching us on spiritual warfare, he spoke about something that was very dangerous. He said that there are certain dimensions of spiritual warfare. All you need to do is to preach the gospel. Evangelism. You don't pray against them. Because they are not demons you can cast out. What we were empowered to cast out are demons. And in the syndicate, it's not only demons that reside in that syndicate. They are also fallen angels and other spiritual forces. So you must have understanding of the whiles that is going on, then the corresponding what? Response. So aura for what? Aura. Hallelujah. Therefore, in other words, while the devil employs many devices, they are carried out through identifiable operations. Recognizing the present operation helps the believer effectively withstand the wiles, frustrating devices, and remain standing in the victory secured in Christ. So if you don't know the wiles, you are in trouble. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, let's do our lesson. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12. Those of you who don't like maths, today it is maths. And if you don't know, you don't like set, we are coming to do set. Okay? Do you remember set and subsets? Let's do sets. Hallelujah. According to Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12. I need help. Shift this one. Hallelujah. I am a math teacher, so I can't use any other principle than mathematics. If I'm done, we'll call the pharmacist to come and see how she can balance the chemistry equations over here. And we'll call the lawyer to find the legal framework of operations here. Okay, so lawyer, you come and justify the legal frameworks over here. Whilst the pharmacist find the solution, the medicine to apply to solve the situations on board. Okay, now in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12, to identify the wiles, Paul breaks them down. Okay, now one thing you have to understand that Paul's presentation, theologically, if you study in the concept of theology, Paul's presentation of Ephesians 6:12 was not to rank necessarily. He didn't give any definite ranking of the operations over there. However, we out of revelation can put ranks on them. But the effective of ranking that I have identified is the scope of operation ranking. That is, to what extent, are you following me, that a rank as falling the spirit category works. When you understand that, you can be able to deal with them. So the first is the big circle. This is the odd universal set. And the universal set is called Satan. In this universal set, the wiles are in three folds: steal, kill, destroy. Every other subset operate in accomplishing of any of these three. Are you following me? Now, from this subset, the next in command is what we called wickedness in what? High places, heavenly places. So that becomes the second what? Subset. We will look at them, what they do. I want to just explain to you. Now, wickedness in high places, I'll talk about them, so I just want to draw that. I'll be coming to them, okay? Within it is what we call rulers of what? Darkness. So this, let's do this arrow here. Wickedness. So we just do wickedness so that we all know what we're doing, right? So within this wickedness is what? Rulers of what? The scope. Darkness. Then within the rulers of darkness comes what? Powers. So here's what? Powers. And then within the powers is what? Principality. Principality. It's not a soft prince, but you know what I'm talking about here. This is how the demonic system works. Now note, now the intensity of the attack is generated here, but the projection starts from here. So it's progressive. Follow me. When your day of evil will come, they cook it here. They want something to steal, something to kill, something to destroy. Then when they pass the information, wickedness in high places will develop the systems of oppression. You get it? That is why the Bible says weapons fashioned against you. So all the weapons, you see what I'm wearing today? You see how nice it is? This is my birthday gift from my wife. Yeah. So she took a picture of me and sent it to her, and the woman designed something that will fit me. Is that not so? When the devil wants to steal, kill, or destroy, he employs wickedness in high places to look into their materials that they have to show what is best fit for you. Hallelujah. Wait. Yes, follow. When they are done, darkness set the what? Coordinates of oppression. So their job is that when it is cooked, they must find a way to what? Deliver. So darkness finds a way to what? Deliver it. So is it going to be by C or DHL? Which other means do we have? So that is when that decision will be taken. Are you following me? So you are going to look at the devices. You know, I want you to follow. That is why I'm showing the syndicate. Are you following? Now, when they decide, these people here, powers, are the ones who are going to make sure that they bring it to your delivery door. They deliver it. They are the ones who cause the affliction. They'll bring the delivery. So by the time the delivery will come, it has gone through process. Now, the most dangerous one is that when you wait for them to finish sewing the dress for you, and you don't deal with it, it is a tough battle for you. We are going to deal. So when the next thing we will look at is weapons of our warfare. How we dismantle this syndicate. We're going to do it. The whole thing I'm saying is that my father taught us to how to unmask the devil. So that's what we are doing here. Now these people here, principalities, who also are sometimes called demons, are the ones who supervise what these people are doing to you. These are supervisors. So when these people come to deliver the sickness, there's a demon assigned to enforce the sickness. Are you following? They will supervise. And you know what supervisors they do? They make sure that the thing goes according to plan, not even an inch. So they are the ones who will come and reside in the affliction that the devil has conceived to steal or kill or destroy. They will reside in that affliction for you. And they will make sure that they do good supervision. So your family idols, you see friend over there. Okay, the Juma is supervision. The work he does is to supervise that which has been all delivered, that which was the means by which it was delivered, and which that was what designed for you. This is how the syndicate operates. So now let's look at how we identify their devices and then their method of what operation. Are you ready now? Or don't you like my class? You don't class for your teacher. I'll not teach again. So when we talk about the leave it because I'm still going to use it. So when we talk about the four ranks that works in Ephesians 6:12, this is what it means. This is the syndicate. Do you understand now? So it is within. Everybody's working within. So it's not like this one is so powerful, but it's because of the scope of work and the jurisdiction. So it is matter of authority here. Your level of what authority that operates over. Are we on the same page? Okay, now let's move on. The wows. Let's start from the lower version. Principality. What is their job? As I said, their job is to supervise. Is that also? Okay. So, this appear to be high-ranking territorial government authority. So, they are territorial government agencies. Their job is to what? Influence what? Regions, nations, cultures, and systems. Now, in Daniel chapter 10, verse 13, let's read Daniel 10, 13. Let's look at the principalities. So, they are territorial, high-ranking people. So when you come to a territory, the first point of contact is what? Principalities, supervisors. That territory belongs to them. We are going to look at their house, and then we'll look at their devices. They know how to deal with them. But the prince of the kingdom of what? Persia. Specific. What did he do? Withstood me 21 days. So these people are not weak. Can you see a territorial what? Check on angel what? Gabriel. Do you know who Gabriel is? Said, I'm the one who stand before the presence of the Lord. He entered the territory and the principality held him in check. So it's not about the expressions of their power. It is about their scope of work. So if you enter their scope of work, you must know how to disarm them. Because each of these people here are powerful beings in their heart, place of operation. But they are not powerful on us. We will only give them room if we don't line up to what Jesus has made for us. So now let's look at some of their house. You can write this scripture also down, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 20. Devices. Let's start with the devices. Objectives. Number one, establish idolatry in a territory. One of the ways principalities supervise what has been meant for you is establishing idolatry. False worship. You understand? So false worship exists, but the point of expressing it, they establish it. So the idols you see around, okay, are expressions of what? Supervisory or spirit. Why do we say so? They are monitoring you. What are the ones you say they have been monitoring our life? It's not from the house. See, if you fear, is that what they have been saying? Oh, are you with me? This one is coming from the earth. What that they supervise. So their objective is to what? Establish what? Idolatry. To make their work what? Easy. So that becomes what? What does the idolatry do? In context, it means it comes an altar and what? Porter. A receiving point. So there is always a presence, what? Demonic, what? Activity in your life, because there is an altar there. So you see that in every house, almost in this African territory, almost every house have something to do with idolatry. The presence of demonic, what? Activities for supervision purposes. Are we there? Number two, control cultures and civilization. Now, if you are able to control the way the people behave, the way they see, like the civilization, how they are, you can, you see, we always say that there is some particular religion at the place of their intensity. When you go there, you see the kind of things they do over there. Because the supervision of the devil over there is to make women suffer. They don't like education. One particular expression of them is that they don't like education. So you see that the civilization over there is against education. Are you with me? It's against. You see, if you don't know, if I take you to some part of Volta region, then you know that. Was it your town where you are? For the sake of where you work, you remember that runabout? You remember the story we were told? Could you imagine that a place that they want to expand a road for them? Because of the idol there, they said they will never allow. So if you pass Elder Abu's place and you are going to the what is it, that road, Kumasi Highway, Asifosu, there is a rough road between the third roads, because the civilization of the people over there by the idolatry has refused that they will construct that road. When you see places that they fight certain kind of development, certain kind of thing, it is talking about principalities. Now, so now you know the principality working in Ghana here. You can see it now. The things we fight, naturally we fight. You seen it? It tells you the kind of principalities I work. So if you go into a particular family, you can trace their culture and civilization to the principality at work over there. So there are certain things they don't have. That's why it says, I crash your phone here. Are you with me? Like, our prophet wants to be doctorate. If the principality in his family doesn't like it and he doesn't stand, they'll deal with him. You did the masters, we allow you. Still want to go and do what to be called doctor. The way they'll deal with him. They control civilization. Are you with me? Resist God, because they control their civilization over there. One of their purpose is to resist God's purpose in what? in a place or a nation, they resisted. So you see, our Father has been teaching us to pray against the principality of for the principality of Ghana, the angel assigned. Is that also so that we can be able to fight against the principality assigned to us? So you, I don't know if you have been following those kind of prayers we've been praying. For time factor, let me move on. Now, one of their main work, dangerous work, is the corrupt leaders. Objective is to corrupt leaders. So they corrupt leaders and institutions. Now, you see, the kind of corruption that's entering our senior high schools and things, it is principalities who are working into. Do you know that I have ministered in senior high schools, so I can use that one, and the tertiary institutions, okay? Do you know that when you go to certain institutions, okay, the kind of things that go on there is different from what happens at some places? Okay, let me use UCC where I come from. When you enter UCC, okay, you will see that one of the cultures over there is that seriousness, like they are always serious and everything. We are learning. But do you know we have what we call the crab spirit? PhD. Not your own. Also, we are talking about African PhD. Pull him. So one of the common things you see in that university, if you're a senior member, then you don't, they will show you a power lash. So if you come from a place like UCC and you don't really work on yourself, you see that you go ahead and then they'll pull you back. The institution, that's how it behaves. So you see that there are certain corruptions and activities that go on there, and the leaders, how they behave is that way. If you go to Legon, loose living. Loose living is one of the things you can identify with Legon. It's not in UCC. So the rate of HIV in Legon can be 10 times higher than that of UCC, because that is the kind of corruption that works there. Everything over there promotes it. Are you on the same page? Now let's look at the wows, the schemes, how they get it done. Number one, national idolatry. So you see how people want to now promote idolatry in Ghana now. Culture and traditions rooted in false worship. Oh, let me say it in chi. See, I'm not against culture, but we have to know where the source of that culture out came from. Because some principalities, the way they are able to introduce their objectives is to through cultures and what? Practices. Somebody was crying against the poor right recently. Have you forgotten it was the culture in the northern region, something called female out, genital out? And look at the harm. Said they want to reduce the libido of a woman. Now, the men and the woman, who has high libido? You see wickedness. Let's face it, men and women, one and a home band, men, ourselves is close to us. Direct translation. Yes, to some wicked principality, true culture, things that it is the women rather that should be what controlled, not the men. Why don't you castrate the men? you see wickedness. So it is principality to enforce, supervise culture. You see, false religion and philosophies is an evidence of oppression of what? So when you see some false religion coming somewhere, some serious funny philosophies, is principality scheming its way to do what it's supposed to do. I'll show how we deal with them. But now, so when you see these things in the evil day, when you see them happening, then certain culture, you'll be bound by certain culture. If you don't do this, you know some people have to do. When my father passed on, but you know where we come from, a whole elder of Church of Pentecost for years, a man who has served God for at least 47 years of his life, died. And you come to me to request of me a goat in the name that if we don't do it, my father's ghost. I said, allow him. And me myself, I want to encounter him. Because we have unfinished business. Maybe they are still. I said, allow him. Some of you, those are, I know you are following. Those are the evil days you don't know. That they'll let you, oh, because of this, you have to do this rituals. You have to do this thing. And you go and do it. and then they have gotten you. Supervisors have gotten you. I tell you, everything that the powers will send, they'll supervise it. I pray for you that your eyes should be wide open. Number two, powers. Okay. I said I'll divide it into two, right? So today I'm just going to give you the devices and the wiles. Then next week we will look at how to curtail them. Very important. Okay? Yeah. Number two. So you see, this thing I spoke about, the principalities. If you take a typical example of this idolatry and cultures and everything, you see that sometimes society begins to normalize practices that openly oppose God's standard. See, generations grow to accept certain norms without questioning their spiritual roots. Are you following me? So something that was not part of the society is now normalized. Do you see now we are normalizing divorce? Baby mama. How many of you want to be baby mamas here? Emma, are you raising your hand or you are shooting a video? But you know that this thing was haram some years back, even in our normal culture. Prophets used to tell me that, oh, we should pray against issue of divorce because the number of cases has been handled. I thought it was a lie until they start coming to me. Then I realized that, hey, if me, who is not working in the court, can receive in a month about 3 or 4 cases of people willing to divorce, then also how many do you handle in a month? Now, if I marry you and I don't like your nonsense, I leave you. It's normal. Pastors will cheer you on. Society will clap for you. A time will come, our children will think that marriage is just enter and come out. Now, so will they do them. No commitment. They don't understand that marriage is a representation, even as Christians, it's a representation of we and Christ. And for that, God really cherishes it. It's an institution by God. No, no, it's because it has been normalized, and that is principality. So you see that broken home, do you know what he's trying to achieve? You see, the first and the most threatening system that God has put in place against the devil is family. Wherever two or more are gathered. If a family is solid, a society is safe. When you go to a community that there is a solid nuclear family, that society is a safe place. To make sure that the society will be broken so that his cause will be advanced. Because the Bible said that in the old days, iniquity shall abound. The first place to crash is family. So this baby mama, baby dada thing that is happening. I divorce you, you divorce me, we will divorce ourselves. We every day divorce, divorce, whatever thing. It's just one thing. That iniquity will abound. The Bible said, if you don't draw the sons to the fathers, I, the Lord, my anger will come on you. And you see, principalities promoting this. When you see somebody coming after your marriage, listen to me. This is, I'm showing you the evil day. It's because he wants you to also be part of the people who contribute to his agenda. That is why when that time comes and the enemy attacks your marriage, you take a stand. You take a stand against that house. Say that devices will not stand. Powers, also called delegated authorities. These are to execute orders received from, you know where it's coming from, right? Good. In Acts chapter 10 verse 38, the Bible was talking about Jesus who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed. What Jesus was confronting is called powers. Now, the objectives of powers are, number one, enslave people through bondage. Luke chapter 13 verse 11 to 16. Remember we talk about that. Is this not the daughter of what? Abraham. That should be loose. So powers are interested in what? Bondage. They enslave people through what? Bondage. Number two, oppressed communities. Oppressed people. Oppression is an act of powers. Number three, maintain system of injustice. That's their job. When you are suffering injustice, you are not dealing with principalities. You are dealing with powers. Number four, hinder the advancement of the kingdom of God. They don't resist, they hinder. You see, resistance is me and you pushing. Hinder is that they put stumbling block. I'll hinder your path. So they'll put stumbling blocks. They'll make sure that they'll put things in your path that you can't do the kingdom of God. You can't do the kingdom of God. When you see things fighting, there are things that come to cross you, to hinder you from doing the work of God. You are not dealing with principalities. At that point, the matter is what you are dealing with powers. That is their objective. They hinder you. How do they do it? Their wiles. Fear. Fear is the first. See, that's why powers are frontline demons. See, the frontline demons, powers, they do that. So you'll be thinking that fear comes from the principalities. No. No. Powers are responsible for fear. Number two, manipulation. That idea. So for them to be able to put you in bondage, fear comes, they manipulate you. Then you see oppression. Oppression in the form of what? Affliction. They afflict you physically, emotionally. Affliction. The next one is addiction. So the pawn you cannot break out from is not your. It's not about the altar. It's about powers. That is why you see, when you go to an environment, you go to a place. I said I'll do more on this because we are going to look at them. When we enter into the place of the battlefield, when we talk about the battlefield, we talk about the systems of oppression. Daddy talked something about the trend system. All those things, we're going to look at it at the battlefield, and you understand what I'm talking about here with the powers. They ride with the trend system. They do well with that. Then institutional corruption. That is how they do their job. Are we on the same page now? Have you seen it? So now, when you see that fear is knocking at your door, what it means is that, remember where they belong. They are about to deliver a package to you. They are the delivery guys. Remember I mentioned them. Oh, should I go over again? These are supervisors. When we come here, delivery guys, that which has been formed by darkness. So, and that is why, is it fear opens you? Why did they give you that scary dream? You see, when you dreamt that you were in America watching Ghana and then Colombia, you didn't believe it, right? But when you dreamt that they put you in caskets and were nailed, you woke up and said, Jesus, Jesus. For that one, you believe. Do you know why? Delivery guys are coming. So they are trying to, they are knocking at your door to open so that they can deliver the package that has already been set in place. Delivery guys. Now, when they finish their delivery, you see that supervisors will make sure that the delivery is doing what it's supposed to what. So when men slept, they will come. Are we on the same page now? So, when you see that you are struggling with certain repetitive things in your life, it becomes a pattern. You are battling with them. You are dealing with them. Delivery guys are working. They are making sure that you receive all your deliveries. I pray that you miss your delivery in Jesus' name. Are you with me? God. Rulers of darkness. The ones who devise the means of delivery for you. Whether you are going to receive SMS, EMS, email, others, DHL. Let's look at those guys. Yeah, let's look at them. Yeah. These are world rulers of darkness that seek to keep people in spiritual blindness and ignorance. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says that the rulers of the world are what blind the eyes of the people that they may not see. So you see, they are the ones who create the means by which things come true. So they determine what can go here by their. I hope you are following me. So if we want to really talk about them in terms of business model, we will call them the chain of delivery. How things move. They coordinate it. Is the ship dealer here? Yeah, so they coordinate how the things will. Now, if you want to buy a car from Canada, you need ship dealer, right? Elder Ike. He will tell you when to buy the car, who to give the car to, which way to package the car, the vessel and then it will come to you. You can't do without him. If he was part of this system, he's ruler of darkness. But thank God he's not part in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you part? Now let's move on. John 3 verse 19 to 20. The same thing is spoken about them. John 3 verse 3 to 19. Now let's dwell a little here and move on. Their objectives, their devices, how do they, what are their main goals? To enforce this, what did they do? Their goal is to blind their minds to the gospel. The gospel is light. He sent forth his word and it brought deliverance and healing. Is that not so? You see, they are oppressing weakens when they are exposed. So for their delivery system not to be found, one of their objectives is to make sure that they blind your eyes to the gospel. Number two, they promote deception. For the delivery to be successful, you must constantly be deceived. Number three, they keep people in ignorance of truth. Do you know, up to now, we all don't know how KFC and Coke is prepared. If they fall within this syndicate, they'll be here. You will never know. All you know is that you are a number. You will never know. You just wake up. You see, and some people say, and it didn't just happen. It was good in a place of all powers of the rulers of darkness. They blinded you. You are not aware. They took you. That's what about Jesus worked when people were ignorant. Their stronghold objective is to keep you ignorant. So if you don't, what you don't know is what helps them. So all that they do for the work to be successful against you is to make sure you are ignorant. That's why you find that one of the weapons against this boy is what? Revelation. When you encounter the spirit of revelation, these people, you are able to deal with them. Hallelujah. Number three, keep people in. Okay, I mentioned. Number four, normalize darkness. You see, one of the things they do is that darkness, don't you know what darkness stands for? They normalize it. So you see how aggressive they are working now. Now they want you to accept that LGBTQ is a human condition naturally born with. That one is coming from here, rulers of darkness. Most of the places that they operate are high places. They are the ones who enthrone kings and presidents. They are the ones that let me tell you, most times those who sit on the throne are not powerful. Look for those who put them on the throne. So these people deal with influencers, powerful musicians, actors and actresses, president, all these people. And their job is to normalize darkness. What are the methods they use? False teachings. Intellectual pride is their method. They raise people who take pride in intellectual capacity. That is why you could see a learned medical person sit there and is disproving what biology taught her. That biology is not the determinant of the sex or the sexual behavior of a person. Can't you see that people will go there to do that research just to prove that which natural cause as defined they want to. We say that being a woman or a man is biologically determined. Intellectual pride is telling us that is not true. That's why we have more than one gender according to them. That's intellectual pride. And people are paying amount of money to cook these lies with all kinds of research. The next one, deception. They use deception. Counterfeit truth. Counterfeit what? Truth. is one of their wives. So the truth they are giving to you, it looks as though it is true. But it's not the truth. So these are the people who will come to you, and then they'll let you believe that, oh, we believe in Jesus, but Jesus was also a gay. You know that Jesus was a gay, and we'll give you scriptures. He never had a woman disciple. He called John his beloved. You see, you don't know your Bible. If that, prove me wrong. Didn't Jesus call John his beloved? Jesus called John his beloved. John slept at the bosom of what? Who puts his head on your chest? Oh, man of God. Am I not preaching good? I'm preaching good. So, is it counterfeit truth? So, Jesus had no issue with gay. Eh? You are being judgmental. We listen, we don't what. So if Jesus himself called John his beloved, John lied in his bosom, he never had any. So who are you to say that we gays cannot be pastor? So they will now put a gay pastor on the pulpit and he'll preach to you. Justify. That's their vows. Last one, what they are very good at, spiritual confusion. One of their words, we call it spiritual what? Confusion. Do you know spiritual confusion? That is when they tell you something that is of God and you yourself, you don't even understand yourself. They confuse you. There is nothing that they will say that will give you clarity. There is always question mark on everything that they want you to know. Confusion, ayabasa, is what they do. Spiritual confusion. As I said, we're going to be doing this. I'm just trying to, and also stick to time. Amen. So, this is the delivery guys. Let's go to the final one, then we'll close. Are you being blessed? So, this was what Apostle Paul wanted us to know. It's not about their rank. It's about their objectives when they begin to the channel. So you know, oh, when this thing is happening, you know, oh, this channel is flowing from this channel. What is the reason why it is doing that? What is he using? So you see this kind of now you know that something is cooking from that place. What must you do? Hallelujah. Last one. Spiritual wickedness in high places produces fashion against you. Yeah, here is where the cooking is done. That's why they are the wickedness in high places. Very wicked people. You see, those are the ones who cause this tsunami. And see, these people, they love wickedness. They are very wicked. And we will talk about them. Sometimes it's not interesting to talk about these things. But yes, let's go through it. Hallelujah. This refers to spiritual forces actively promoting wickedness and corruption in earthly spheres. Revelation chapter 2 verse 20. It is only wickedness that will let a person sit down and say that I am going to form my whole day. My job is to sow wickedness, fashion, weapon fashion against you to do something to destroy you. It's wickedness. You need to be wicked to devise bomb to blast people. Do you know how many years it takes to prepare nuclear bomb? How many years? They have to gather uranium. How many years? Many years. Iran and USA war is just because of one thing. USA said you not allow them to have nuclear weapon. Iran said we want to have it, and they will sacrifice anybody to do it. That should tell you the level of wickedness when this weapon function. If they show the dress and it finally reaches you, then you know you are my strength. It reaches to me. Then you know. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you have allowed the woman Jezebel, who calls herself prophetess, to teach and seduce my servant to commit sexual immorality and eating sacrifice what? Idols. Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. You see their works over there. Now, let's look at their devices and then we will close. Time is fast. Their objectives is to defile worship. Everything that these people do is to defile worship. That is, any worship that will go to God will be defiled. You know that he said, a contrite heart and a broken spirit is what the Lord will look up to, right? And then he knows that if he allows you, so their objective is to make sure that anything that you send to God is defiled. Number two, corrupt spiritual authority. The authority of God at work in you, there is a way they can work to corrupt it. That is their job. Promote immorality. All forms of immorality, not only the sexual one. Introduce counterfeit spiritual experiences. So before a religion will be born in the world of darkness, they are the ones who introduce the idea. They form it. They form that religion. And then they introduce it. How do they do their work? Number one, seduction. Wow. Seduction is one of their strong ways of doing their job. Wickedness. They seduce. False prophecy. False prophecy. Religious pride. Doctrines of demons. So when you see people who are, now as I'm talking, you can see some of the people who are agents of their oppression. Now, do you know that all these four, okay, they have a way of having the physical human agents to represent their idea. Whenever you see a false religion, false doctrine, it is telling you that in that place, these people are working. Very soon, you see the other people descending to do their job. Are you on the same page? These syndicates all work together to achieve this objective: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. These four are channels of releasing this agenda. So anytime you take Ephesians 6:12, your push is to look at the channel and how the channel behaves. Then receive wisdom to know. So it's the arm. You now understand why each of the armors over there has what they stand for. It's my prayer for you that in the day of evil, you will not be found wanting. Paul said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, because there is an evil day. Oh, the Bible said, many are the troubles of the righteous, but the Lord shall deliver him from it. I pray that no evil day will overempower you. I pray for you. I want you to pray that when that evil day comes, oh, you will stand. You will stand. You will stand. You will stand. Mrendolomoko vilabasakatai. The Bible said it at that time that the Herod, as at that time the Herod stretched forth his hand. There is a time coming that the devil will stretch forth his hand, but we will not be ignorant of his wiles, neither will we be ignorant of his devices. And when that day comes, we shall also take a stand like the early church. The Bible said, and they made prayers. The Bible said they made prayers. They made prayers. Because they understood that wickedness in higher places has activated itself. This was not the first time they were persecuted. Stephen was killed before Peter was arrested. Stephen, all these things had happened. But now, you see, they started coming after them. They were saying, at that time, I pray for you. When that time comes, It will not be said that, oh, that devices and the wiles of the enemy have swallowed you. That the enemy will not rejoice. That the weapon formed against you has prospered. I declare in the name of Jesus, that which is cooked to steal, that which is prepared to destroy, that which is prepared to kill something connected to you, in the mighty name of Jesus, may the hand of God be stretched and may you be able to stand. May you gain grounds to oppose. I said gain ground to oppose. Gain grounds to oppose. Gain grounds to oppose. Any opposition, may there be a counter attack in the name of Jesus. And then that season comes, you will prevail. I said you will prevail. You are victorious. You are already victorious. Take your stand in Christ. I pray that you will not fall by any wiles of the enemy, in the mighty name of Jesus. Rabila Masukataya. Thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord.
Glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.